in the battle fleet flotillas while at Scapa. We had, of course, no Port Edgar to fall back on. Each flotilla had its own depot ship, which, with very different capacity, had to cater for the same number of destroyers. By the organisation then existing, by which the captain of the depot ship carried out the administration of the personnel and stores of the destroyers, it was very difficult to pool resources, which was often necessary. There was much to be done. My routine at Scapa, if it could be called a routine, in which no 2 days were alike, consisted broadly of either interviewing commanding officers all the forenoon, or going out with one or other flotilla for exercises, back in the early afternoon, and if possible, ashore for an hour's walk, and then at 4 o'clock, settling down to paperwork, which was prodigious. Every sort of subject came up. My staff, which besides Woodhouse, secretary, and Clegg, signal officer, included Davis, gunnery commander, Walker, and later Wake Walker, torpedo commanders, were hard at it. But everything had eventually to come to my baskets, which followed each other in rapid succession all day and far into the night. As in the 13th Flotilla, I started in on combined gunnery and torpedo practice, and controlled fire of divisions and flotillas. There is naturally great difficulty in spotting for a large number of guns of the same calibre firing at once. It is most desirable to use the same range and make the same corrections, but by no means easy. We tried all sorts of devices. Maybe they are still being tried. Of course, wireless is ideal, but unlikely to be available in action. But it might be, and is certainly the first line. Captain Chatfield, as he was then, flag captain, and in charge of the gunnery of the fleet, came out for our first flotilla firing, and it was always most encouraging and helpful. I think it can be truly claimed that our efforts in the flotillas to perfect controlled firing spread throughout the fleet. The standard method of destroyer attack at this time was based on time, that is, each division of a flotilla being launched to the attack ran in on a definite course approaching the enemy for so many minutes, and then turned to a parallel course to the enemy before firing their torpedoes. I had come to the conclusion from experience, while acting as target for various ships during many attacks, that by a small alteration of course or speed, I could paralyze any attack that was tied to a certain course and speed for a certain time limit. Now, with all the flotillas in turn, I continued to try out these attacks as laid down in the manual, always to confirm my opinion that there was no success that way. They depended altogether too much on the passive acquiescence of the enemy. To abolish the AU method of attack, as it was called, was almost high treason in the destroyer world, and it was difficult to convince either the captains of the flotillas or my own staff for some time, but I did convince Sir David Beatty, who approved my idea to produce what came to be known as the master tack, to ensure a zone of torpedo fire through which the enemy must pass, and which, owing to the number of torpedoes, avoiding action would be difficult or impossible. Moreover, it seemed that instead of each attacking division coming in rotation under the concentrated fire of the enemy, that his fire would have to be distributed simultaneously over a large number of targets to the great disadvantage of the gun control. While on the subject of destroyer attack tactics, it might be of interest to refer to a problem then much discussed of the advantages and disadvantages of heavy ships turning towards or away from an attack by destroyers in order to avoid the torpedoes. From the destroyer's point of view, I think the opinion would be unanimous that a squadron of heavy ships which turns towards an attack is far more formidable than one turning away. As far as the safety of the big ship is concerned, It may be the turn away is slightly the safer, but the attacking destroyers will live to fight another day. A fleet that turns towards them stands more than a fair chance of annihilating them. Moreover, the turn away definitely means breaking off action temporarily, which is only too likely to become permanently. The German fleet was certainly saved at Jutland on one occasion by this very problem. Their destroyers, which may not have accomplished anything very spectacular, did in fact save their fleet by the threat of what they might do. They caused us to turn away.